Matthew chapter 16. And you will note in Matthew chapter 16, going, if I can, to verse 24. Our Lord, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So there's an abandonment of personal anything going into in pursuit of the person and work of God. So we put aside everything for what God wants. And in the process, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." So if you follow me, it looks like you're leaving your whole world behind. If I leave, then I have nothing here anywhere. Verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So God makes clear, if you follow me, you're going to gain, actually gain. If you don't follow me, you're actually going to lose. So if you follow me, you're going to win and gain. If you don't follow me, you will not. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, then consider, if you would, the thought in all of your little lives and mine. Here we are on planet Earth, and you ask yourself, as we are here, in the light of, you certainly have had occasions, many or few or none maybe, where you've had good news in your life. Somewhere, as you journey down the corridor of time, you had good news somewhere. No? So good news? You won the... Anyway, you had good news. Now, so having said that, now, on all the occasions you've had good news, what happened to the good news? All the good news that you had, what happened to it? It all disappeared. It all disappeared. It's good for a moment, and then it's gone. So, God, you've given us good news called the gospel. The gospel has to do with the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus the good news is another person, not us. God, in your person, you are the good news. So the good news is there. And the good news is there, and it's there, and it's there, and it doesn't go away, because it's a person. The person, as it were, a companion, journey, going down the road, the person's always there. The good news is always there. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so over, if you can, get the flavor of this, over, if you would, to, First Peter. And in First Peter, chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up, if I can, the thought, if I may, in the process here, everything has a value to it of some form to a person. Everything has a value to it. And the value, how much is precious, worth, value, how much you want it, possess it, depends. And when we have things of value like that, we have them for so long, we get them and we value them, and then all of a sudden they aren't quite so valuable. Now, using a simple illustration, you all have, you all were at some point younger. And you all were younger, and you all have, I'll bet you have pictures of yourself. I looked at a picture. Jeanette has a picture of me in my uniform up in the on the bureau up there. And when I get up and see the clock, there it is looking at me. I don't even know the guy. I don't know him. I see him, but I don't recognize him. It was valuable to me once. It is no more valuable. And everything that you consider valuable is not going to be valuable anymore. True? Things that you consider precious, needed, wait, give the clock time, and it isn't anymore. No more valuable. No. It lost its value. So, life, that's life. Life is getting things and having things, valuing them, and then they all disappear. Little children, we all of you grow up, you get presents and dolls and different little things. And in the process, it doesn't take very long that they're put away, never to be used again. They were only valuable, that's little children. Let alone for us adults. We get things for a little while, and then they're all gone. No more valuable. Just isn't valuable anymore. We thought it was, but it isn't. Now, so having said that, in the light of that, over in 1 Peter, if I can, and picking up, if I can, to get the flavor of it, to let it just move along, in the light of that, and before I do that, before I do Peter, I need to do something else. I'm coming back there, but over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now remember, as long as you have things, and you have them, they're good, and they're important and valuable to you. When you don't have them, they aren't valuable. And a thousand ways to illustrate that, I'm just going to take a large, let's call it a $20 bill. Now, don't take it from me. It's the only one I've got. Now, here's your $20 bill. As long as I have that, it's valuable to me. But if you have that, even though it's a $20 bill, it isn't in my possession. I don't own it. I have keys for good or bad. And those keys are only good as long as I have something that I can possess and belongs to me that the key works for. Otherwise, the key's no good. It doesn't work for me. Whatever it is doesn't belong to me. Things have to belong to us. We have to possess them to make them valuable, to make them practical. If you don't have them, they aren't yours. It isn't your $20 bill. You have to own them. If you don't own them, you can talk about them, dream about them, look at them, but they aren't going to go anywhere. Hang on to that now. In the light of that, God, you have given us wonderfully, wonderful good news that you, in your wonderful wisdom and purpose, have chosen, you created us before anything, even angels were created. You created us in your mind and heart. And you gave us physical birth at this point in human history. And when you did that with the understanding that when we were born physically, we could be born spiritually, and have a unique relationship to you, and that you would buy us and you pay for us, you would redeem us, you would pay the penalty of sin to purchase us, pardon us, to possess us. To possess us, That's right. Otherwise, it isn't mine. That's no good to me. It has to be mine. Purchase, pardon, possess. Now, you're ready to sort of jump a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you would note in verse 19, what know ye not that your body is the temple, house, dwelling place, like the tabernacle of old, the temple of old? Your body, what you're living in right now, sitting there, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. God, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God, you took God at His word, and He bought you, saved you, purchased you, and pardoned you, and wants to possess you in a very practical way. Now, verse 20. For, you're not your own, for reason, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. It costs something. Value, possession, make it worth, honor. It costs something. It costs something. It costs God something. To what? Possess. He bought it. It's His $20 bill. It's His $20 bill. He can do what he wants with it. It's his. Now, over to chapter 7, you'll see it again. In chapter 7 and in verse 23, picking up the thought, you are bought with a price, there's your little word, be not ye the servants of men. You, back up, God, remember, I'll get a little better context for you, sliding up if I can, verse 21. Art thou called being a servant, a slave? Care not. Remember, half the Roman Empire is almost in slavery. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it, rather, if you're free. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, a slave, is the Lord's. And the freeman, likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. So the owner and the slave, they both belong to God. Neither one of them are free. God possesses them. So it don't make a big difference between the employer and the employee. It isn't an issue. Don't make an issue about it. Now, having said that little bit, back over, if you would, to Peter. And if I can, in 1 Peter, picking up, and you'll pick up the flavor of it. Now, Peter's trying to help us understand. And thus, 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up, if I can, in verse 5, verse 4 even, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, many kinds of ways of being put to the test, put to the proof, temptations, all kinds of things you have to go through and work through. And thus we go to verse 7, that the trial, why do you go through all of them as a believer? That the trial of your faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, that's the Bible, and you believe it. And that's what, you don't understand it all. You believe it. And remember that. You don't sit there and say, what do I understand? It's what I believe. It's what you believe that saves you. It's who you believe that saves you. and the rest of it all works itself out. So when I read God's word and look to God, he's beyond, he's unspeakable, he's an inexpressible, he's God. And so I don't try, his ways and his thoughts, as you know in Isaiah 55, are higher than the heavens. So we aren't sitting there trying to put it all together like a puzzle. No, it's too big. It's God. You must believe that I am. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. He that cometh to me must believe that I am. And I am a rewarder, a payer in full of everyone that seeks me. Now, so here in verse 7, the trial of your faith being much more precious, valuable, worth, honorable. Wow. Precious again, using that word, easy to see, very precious, very dear to us. So the trying of your faith is being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, put to the test, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So the outworking, you're trying to get it here. If I try to have it all here, whole world, then I lose out. I think I get everything, but I've got nothing, because we bring nothing in and we take nothing out. That's a certainty. So that's an illusion that we're going to have all this. No, we can only hold it as long as our heart beats and we're alive. Otherwise, it's all gone. All gone. Now, so God, here we are, and we're to be looking to you. And what's more precious, our faith, looking to you, God, with all of our heart, and to the honor, there's the word, honor, praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. That means it's inexpressible. There's just no way to explain it. The Lord Jesus said it simply, my joy I give unto you. You can't explain it. All you can do is experience it. My joy. Unexplainable. Aha. Now, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the believing, the body of truth to be believed, even the salvation of your soul. So, God, you're going to go and do a wonderful work in the heart of the believing believer. You bought them with a price, and they're able to go and in trial and test and everything, and they understand by learning what? Learning to trust you, learning to not count on anything as if it was permanent, as if it was good news. God, there is no good news that lasts very good. It isn't good very long before something else comes along and it disappears. We can possess things and value them as long as they're ours to possess, but then they disappear and we don't possess them and someone else does. So we lose. Now, therefore, sliding over, if you can, to verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, behavior. In other words, enjoy and practice your relationship to God. Thank God he saved you. Thank God he bought you with a price. Thank God you have a unique relationship to be his body, his temple, as it were. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You're a pilgrim, a stranger. God saved you. You aren't made to stay on earth. You're made to go and belong to God's wonderful grace and his mercy. Therefore, we pass the time here in fear, looking to God. And thus, verse 18, for as much, why are we doing that? Why are we not trying to grab and get more and get more and get more and have more? Because we can't. We only can hold so much, and then it's only good for so long anyway, and it just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work. Life isn't like that. We think it is, but it isn't. Now, verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here on earth, in fear, for as much as you know that what? You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation, manner of living, received by tradition from your fathers all the way back to Adam. But verse 19, but with the precious, there's your little word, precious, valuable, honor, wow, precious. That, how did you save us, God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. It cost God his son to have you, to know you, to honor you. It cost God himself. Therefore, by precious, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, what was manifest in these last times for us. And again, here's another reference to remembering that before angels were ever created, before anyone was created, anything, a God determined to have his son go and die on the cross. And that's why everything happened. That's why Christmas exists. We exist because Christmas exists. In other words, if Christ didn't die in Bethlehem, come Bethlehem, be born and die, no one's going to be anywhere because they aren't going to exist. It only is because of God's wonderful plan and purpose that we do exist. And that purpose is in the person of Jesus Christ, and we are saved by his precious blood, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, chapter 2, in the light of that, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, why? That you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom, God, you save us in a most wonderful way, and we're to enjoy and exercise what you do because of you do it. We didn't do it. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't choose it. We didn't make it happen. God, all we did is believe that you could make it happen, and it did. Now, so in verse 3, if so be that you've tasted the Lord is gracious, in whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is precious to you. This is my, remember he says it all over, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I want you to know this is my son. I present him to you. This is my son. Now, and God, what did you do? Well, to God the Father, he's very precious, a God. Why wouldn't he be? He's God, precious. Now, hang on, verse 5. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, be ye holy, for I am holy, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're to go and give God honor and glory for being our Creator and Redeemer. Verse 6. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation and the cornerstone of all that's going to take place. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded, or not be put to shame. Now, so in the process here, you're precious, Christ is precious, and what he has done is precious. Now, what did he do? Remember he said, we shared it on Sunday, on the cross, on that day, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why, little word why, W-H-Y, and what, for what purpose, to what end? So what? So that we would not be forsaken. Hebrews 13:5. We are not forsaken. He's forsaken. so that you and I would not be forsaken. Now, and in the light of that, wherefore all is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, put to shame. Unto you, that's the believing heart, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Unto you which believe. So what is valuable to you? The $20 bill? The good news you're trying to grab hold of somehow at work, school, home, coming, going, family, friends, enemies, hard, much health, wealth, whatever it is, you're trying to get some good news. But all the good news is only good for a moment. And then it's all gone. So God, what did you do? You gave us the gospel, the good news in the person of Jesus Christ. That good news is in the person of God. And that good news is precious to God. And it needs to be precious to you and to me. Precious. What's valuable in your life? He is. He's valuable to God, and you find him valuable in your own life. That's what's precious. Everything else, in comparison, is nothing to you that are precious. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, therefore, verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, unbelieving, the stone which the builders disallowed, rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. Now, so God, you're telling us what's precious. I want to find, as a believer, you're bought with a price that's precious to God. God's Son that paid for you is precious, and your position in and of and because of him is precious. He's precious to you. Everything else, no, not to, hang on. 2 Peter. In chapter 1, getting quickly to the point, in verse 4. Wherefore, I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. 3. 1, 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us, what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the vehicle, the agency, the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby God's wonderful call and saving grace, whereby are given unto us a gift, exceeding great and precious, there's your word, precious, valuable, honor, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, in order that by these precious promises, you might be partakers, to be infused, to be related, to have a part, a share of the divine nature. In other words, you can enjoy a unique relationship to God for real. And you know, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you are become a child of God. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God makes you a son in the Son. A personal relationship to God. The Lord said it, that they may be one as we are one to the Father. Now, having said that, whereby unto given us, verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, so God, here we are looking to you, to deal with us and honor yourself in the process. Now, so it's very personal. It needs to be very personal. Remember back to the dollar. Whatever it is, when it's in your pocket, you possess it, you can use it, and you value it. When it's in somebody else's pocket, it's no good, not important, it doesn't matter. It isn't yours. It has to be yours. Now, see that over, if you would, to Psalm number 18. And in Psalm number 18, just, you know all this, I'm just reminding you and myself, God, what this business of possessing? You have to have ownership of it. It has to be yours in order to possess it, to use it. David, and among others, chapter 18, Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And I just want you to remind yourself of the little pronoun M-Y. It doesn't say yours. It doesn't say somebody else's. It has to be your strength, your God, your Savior. It's no good to be somebody else's. What good's it to you? It's not valuable to you. Now, so therefore, verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust my buckler or shield, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Wow. All over the place. And keep going in it. Look at verse 19, just for the sake of moving quickly. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. All personal. Wonderfully, wonderfully personal. And on your way, just turn a couple of pages to that which you are very familiar with, Psalm 23. You know, Psalm 23. David's going to say again. That's why God loved David. God honored David. David honored God. Chapter 23, Psalm 23, I should say, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. You know that. You can quote it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my shepherd, my shepherd. Over to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, verse 1, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? What was the problem? For I was envious at the foolish. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I saw everyone seemed to having and getting and having good news and having possessing things, etc., etc. I saw all that. And I wasn't privileged to see it and have it. I sort of envied and said, wow, life's so much easier for them, etc. And that's what I did, the psalmist says. Now, but, over verse 17, I just couldn't put the pieces together until, verse 17, I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. So remember that we started with that. If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what good is it? What good is it? It's no good. You bring nothing in, you take nothing out. You're busy getting, trying to find things to make life work, and you're getting older. The older you get, no offense, you get older and older, and the things that used to be valuable and good are no good anymore. They aren't that valuable anymore. What good is it? What good is it to have a $20 bill and go to McDonald's and try to have a hamburger, and you have no taste buds, and you have lockjaw? Does that come out all right? What good's the $20 bill? No good. So we have all of that. So what do you have when you're done? Nothing. Actually, That's not a bad thing. I need to understand that God said it. No flesh shall glory in my presence, and apart from me, you've got nothing. Remember the word good, G-O-O-D, and take God out of good, and all you've got is a zero. That's all. Easy to understand. Now, having said that, Psalm 73, sliding down now to the point, verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. You're right there, God. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Here I am now when you're with me. I'm going to go ultimately to where you are, and thank you. By the way, Lord, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is, by the way, that's there, and here, verse 25, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. No one can take your place. No one. Who takes God's place in your life? I don't know. If you don't have God, then what do you have? What do you have? What are you working with? Where are you coming from, you see? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over, if you would please, to 1 John. 1 John, and in chapter 3. And if I may pick up in thought, now remember, in the process of all of this, God is doing and outworking his wonderful will and way, and he's honoring himself in every way. So 1 John chapter 3, picking up in thought. Now, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So you have a unique personal relationship when you receive the Lord as your Savior. Behold, now, N-O-W, are we the sons, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Psalmist, what did the psalmist just say? Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's no one on earth that replaces you. You are most precious to me. You're most precious. Of all the things, my family, my wife, my husband, my job, my health, no one takes your place. You are most precious. And no one in any way, shape, or form even comes close. You are precious. That's where you want to get. You want to get there. He's precious. Then you have good news. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have good news. And the good news is going to outwork itself because you're looking. Looking for what? You're looking to where tomorrow's going. Tomorrow is already here. By the next minute or two, we're moving in. Next 5 minutes, we moved into the next... 5 minutes are going to go by, and we moved into the next moment, whether we like it or not, ready or not. Now, verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, this expectancy, anticipation in him, purifieth himself, even as he is impure. So God, as we're looking for that, what am I looking for? I'm not looking to preserve my body and make it somehow succeed and live 500 years. No, I'm looking to be like you, with you. And that's our expectancy. That's our possession. That's what we possess. That's our one. That's what's precious to us. Precious to us. The hope. Hope, a precious hope. Going to be like him. Going to be like him. And I'm not. There's no way to avoid it. It's going to happen. It has to happen. God was able to save us. And God's able to set us apart. and God's able to do wonderful things for us. So now, having said that little bit, over if you would on your way over to Revelation. Revelation, if I can, and in chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Now, God, here's all the wonderful future, and here's our little window to see it. And in the process, you will notice, we just said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So now, God, and He is to be precious, to be like Him. And Revelation chapter 4, in verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thank, honor, see the word honor, that's the word precious, valuable. And when those beasts give glory and honor, He's precious, thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before Him and sit on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast down their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, a huge multitude, innumerable. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, there's your word precious, and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are all created. So God, I'm part of that, you're part of that, and God, you've done it all because you are going to receive the honor and honor of precious. God said, this is my beloved Son. He is precious. He's precious. His precious blood saved you. He made you precious. You're bought with a price. You're precious. But we're nothing. That's true. But God, you made us precious. Wow. Do you know if you could go and it's a silly illustration. If I could go take your loaf of bread at home, using that, and I could take your loaf of bread at home, and I could go and put in it a 10-carat diamond. What happened to the value of the loaf of bread? Did it change? When you receive God as your Savior, it made a change. You who were not precious have become precious because of He who is in you. Now, having said that little bit, and you're going to have the same thing in chapter 5, picking up in verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor, there's your word precious, valuable, and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him, and that lived forever and ever and ever. So God, here we are looking, and heaven is all about no, realizing God is precious. The psalmist said it, whom have I in heaven but Thee, and on earth there's no one like You. So God, we got it. When are we getting it? Now, that's the good news. So precious, that's heaven's viewpoint. Heaven understands God. The good angels and the bad angels understand God. He's precious. That's your viewpoint now, is it? Heaven's viewpoint should be yours. Now, He's precious. Precious, precious. Now, good news. Wonderfully, wonderful, wonderful good news. So now, looking to that and thanking God for all that He has and all that He is. And therefore, we don't have to look at a picture out of the past. We don't have to try to hold too tightly things in our hand because we can't hold them very long. So we have things, we enjoy them. And I'll take you all for a banana split at Friendly's. May take another dollar, but no sweat. Now, do you got the idea? It's precious. Good news. Wonderful, wonderful good news. That's what Christmas is about. God gives you good news. That's what a new year is about. God gives you good news. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the hour, the minute, or anything. God, you live in good news to handle all the bad news. That's what you do. So everything that doesn't look good, when I look at God, it's all right. Because God said, I'm not counting on that. Who are you counting on then, God? I'm counting on myself. I'm not counting on you. I'm counting on myself. You're in my presence. I'm counting on who I am. That's good news.